Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I believe we can see by now, going through Ephesians, how important it is going verse by verse. You know, we don't get one-sided. We don't get stuck in one position or in one place. But we have to move along, and we get to see not only the doctrines of grace, but the application of grace in our lives as we live it out on this earth. You know, Paul, in the beginning of this epistle, spoke of the doctrines of grace, how God saved us, how He chose us and blessed us in Christ with all the blessings that we need in heavenly places. He gave them to us in Christ before the foundation of the world, and how that we are redeemed by the blood of Christ, and we have forgiveness of sins through the blood of Christ, and we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And then he tells us how that we were by nature children of wrath, even as others. We were just like everyone else, but by God's grace, he has saved us. He loved us, and he saved us, and we are a new creation in Jesus Christ. We are his workmanship. And then he moves on to tell them and us about our walk. He says to walk worthy of your calling. You are a new person. You're sons of God. You're sons and daughters of God. You're not what you used to be. But you're new. You're a new creation. You're God's children. You're God's children. I preach to God's children every week. What a responsibility. You know, when our boys were young, babies, we didn't just leave them with anybody. We didn't just go catch somebody walking down the street. Will you take care of my kids for a while we run out? You didn't do that, did you? I mean, if you asked someone to take care of your children, you knew someone that would take care of your children just like you would. And it's a responsibility to stand here and take care of God's children. To feed the sheep. Peter, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, he said. And so that's a responsibility of handling the word of God and not taking the edge off any of it. You know, I looked at this subject and I titled this subject here, The Christian Home. Paul dealt with our walk in public. He dealt with our conversation, the company we keep. He's dealt with all this, the doctrines, everything. Now he's going to deal with the home, the believer's home. This is not, Paul's not writing to the world. If I read, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. If I read that on The View, what do you think a reaction would be? They'd burn this book. I'm not just them, but the whole world. The world would burn this book. Paul's writing to the Christians. He's writing to those who've been born of God. And this is the letter from our Father to us. This is a Christian home. And when it works like this, when it works in the order that God gave it, it's beautiful. And it works. And it glorifies Jesus Christ. And it's a happy home. You want a happy home? Really? Do you want a happy home? Here it is. Now, this morning, I'm just going to deal with this first three verses. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. And the husband's the head of the wife. And as the church is subject to Christ. I'm going to deal with those three verses. If you'll notice, Paul only mentions the wife here in three verses. You know, the next nine verses is given to the husband loving his wife. He's instructed to love his wife and to love her as Christ loved the church. But we'll get to that week after next, Lord willing. I won't be here next week. Ben's going to preach in my place. Pray for him. Pray the Lord bless him. Give him the message. This is not easy. This is difficult. But you don't want to, let me say this, you don't want to miss this. The whole picture. okay? You don't want to miss the whole picture of the. If you just get this one section and you don't get the rest of it, and it's like what goes on into verse or chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Servants, obey your masters. Masters, you've got a master in heaven. You take care of them like you'd be taken care of. See, it deals with all of this. It's powerful. It's very powerful. So let's look at this. First of all, God has established the order of authority. That's the first thing we recognize. God has established this order. This is not from Paul. This is not from a man's point of view. This is God's. This is of God. And it starts with the Lord Jesus Christ. It starts with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is head over all. Has not Paul already set that forth? He's already set that forth in this scripture. He's the head of the body. He's the head. He's Lord. He's Lord over all. And then he says the husbands as the head of the home and wives to be subject and be in subjection to their husband as the church is subject to Christ. Children are to be in subjection to their parents. Servants to their masters. And all are to be in subjection to civil government. He teaches this throughout all the epistles. Good government. Good government. And when this order is followed by God's children, there's happiness. There's real happiness in the home as well as in your life in general. There's real happiness when we follow God's order. When we follow it. Now we know that all of us are in subjection to someone. Well, aren't we? Either willingly or unwillingly, we are in subjection. There's no such thing as 50-50 partnership. I know we like to think that, and that sounds good. Someone's always going to rise up and be the leader. You who teach, in your classroom, is there not a student that rises up and leads that class? I learned this in running a business. When I was having some problems out in the shop, I learned to find out who the leader in that shop was and deal with him. And I would have control of that shop. It took me a while to learn that lesson. But find out who the leader of the group is and then deal with the leader of that group and you can deal with the whole group. Because there's no such thing as 50-50. I had a lady tell me this one time that in her marriage they were 50-50 partners. Well, I know the lady. There is not 50-50 partners. She runs that thing. I'm telling you the truth. She runs that house. And she had the nerve to say we're 50-50 partners. He didn't say that. He didn't open his mouth. There's no such thing. And the reason why is the order in which God has just, it's even in the animal world. Right now, deer season, those bucks are out there fighting each other. And the dominant buck is going to win. And he's going to control that whole herd. He's going to control. It's in the animal world. In the you take a wolf pack. There's an alpha male. And there's also an alpha female. It's the way God has ordered things. And to go against that is to go against God. My first thought was like, this can be a difficult subject. Then I realized, no, wait a minute. You're not preaching to the world this morning. You're preaching to God's children. It's not a difficult subject when you're preaching to believers. Now, if this was a house full of unbelievers, I'd have a difficult situation on my hands. But I don't. And I'm not preaching to unbelievers. I'm preaching to believers. Now, in chapter 5 and 6, we are given the order of subjection. First to Christ, and then the man is subject to Christ, and then woman to man, and then children to parents, and then to masters to or servants to masters, and then all to the civil government. Is what way it goes, and I know this is a very offensive message to many, to rebels. It's not to you who believe, but to rebels. To submit is against man's nature. It's against our nature to submit, really. Before God saved us, it's against our nature to submit. The first thing we had to do when God saved us is submit to Jesus Christ, didn't it? It's not accept him as your personal savior. It's submit to him. Bow down to him. That's the first thing that happens in salvation. We bow to Jesus Christ. Satan fell by not wanting to submit to God's authority. He wanted to be God. And that same spirit is in every one of us at birth. It's there. That's why your children rebel against you. It's there. That's why I rebelled against my parents. It's that spirit of rebellion, not wanting to submit to my parents. And every now and then it raises its ugly head in believers. This is something that's worked on throughout life. And I've learned this. Relationships in the marriage is a lifelong working on. You work on it the rest of your life. And every now and then that old ugly old man raises its head in rebellion. And the Lord has to chasten us for it. He chastens us. But I want to look at this from the Word of God and submit ourselves to God's Word. You know, when I started doing this, I thought, I'm going to stick with God's Word. Anybody argues with me over this, they're going to argue with God's Word. They're not going to argue with me. Now, this submission spoken of here is not a forced submission. I know men who have used this like a club. But if God ever saves them, they'll stop that. You'll stop that. You will not use the Word of God as a club. I'll tell you what. Here's what you'll learn. That the love that Christ is speaking of here with the husband, that will bring submission. It's not hard to submit to someone you love. It is hard to submit to a rebel. But it's not hard. Now this word submit means to give over or yield to the power or authority of another. You said, well, naturally, that's not in us to do that, because that's why we rebel against God. But not so for the believer. God has given us a spirit of humility, a spirit of obedience, a spirit of submission. Now, I want you to listen to these scriptures. I'm just going to read these scriptures to you. Ephesians 5:21, which I already read in 22, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. 5:22 here in Ephesians. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, as obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's submission to Christ. Colossians 3:18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as is fit. It's just right in the Lord. Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. This has to do with submitting to the pastor. As they that must give account. I have to give account for you. You know that? I got to give account for you. That they may do it with joy. That I may give account for you with joy and not with grief. For that's unprofitable for you. James 4:7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But submit yourselves to God. 1 Peter 2:13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Whether it be as to the king as supreme, and then it goes on with the rest of those verses. In 1 Peter 3:1, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection unto your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. In 1 Corinthians 11:3, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. I have a head that I am obedient to. That's Jesus Christ. If that is properly done, I won't be a monster to my wife. If you see a man that's a monster to his wife, that man hates God. That man's never been born of God. He's mean. Mean people go to hell. But I'd have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ. Christ has a head. As a man, he has a head. God. Now, in doing this, in submitting, we are submitting ourselves to the authority of Jesus Christ, who is the sovereign King of heaven and earth. He sets the rules in his kingdom. He sets the rules in my house. You know that? I don't set the rules. He does. My house is to be governed by his rules, not mine. He sets the rules. We are to submit, there it says in verse 21, to each other, wives to husbands, children to parents, servants to masters, members to the church or to the pastor, and all to civil government. We are to submit. Now let's get to the home. Let's get into this. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, as obedient daughters unto Christ. Now let's go back to the beginning. I want to go back to the beginning and look at some things that we know, that we are taught in the Word of God. 1 Timothy 2:13, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. If we're going to get this right, and we're going to keep it in its proper place, we have to go back to the very beginning of creation. Adam was first formed, then Eve. God made Adam. That's in Genesis 2:7 and verses 15 through 25. That's where that's at. God made Adam first. Adam named all the animals. They all came before him. And there was not a helpmate, it says, found for Adam. When he named all the animals and it was over with, there was not a helpmate found for him. And God said, it's not good that the man should dwell alone. And what he's saying here, there's none like him. I need to make one for him. And he didn't make it out of an animal. And he didn't make his helpmate out of the dust of the ground. He didn't do that either. He didn't make her out of the dust of the ground for him to walk on. He made her out of him. What is that a picture of? That's a picture of the church coming out of Christ, being made. The bride of Christ is being made out of Christ. She is of the same nature he is. So God put Adam in a deep sleep. What did God put Christ to at Calvary? To death. This represents death. He put him in a deep sleep and he took a rib from his side. They stuck that spear under his rib. And out came water, blood and water. But he took a rib from his side and God made a woman. And he brought the woman to Adam. He didn't bring Adam to the woman. He brought the woman to Adam. Adam named her. Adam called her woman because she's made out of man. She came out of a man. The first woman came out of a man. Now the rest of men came out of a woman. But that one came out of a man, just as the church comes out of Christ. Listen to 1 Corinthians 11, 8 and 9. For the man is not for the woman, but the woman for the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. She was created as a helpmate. Another word for that is counterpart. She's the counterpart. They say dog is a man's best friend. No, 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 his wife is. A counterpart, a helpmate, not a slave, not a servant, but someone to help. To help. Not to fight with. That's not someone to fight. God didn't create her so we have someone to fight with. But someone to sit down with, talk with, communicate with, help with the family, because God created the family unit. This is why Satan is so against the family unit. This is why there's so much trouble between the male and female. As Satan is he's just tried to destroy it, as Bruce brought it out, that family unit. God made Adam king over creation, and Eve was his queen. Now listen, lest a man think he's superior, so superior, Paul also wrote this in 1 Corinthians 11, 11 and 12, but nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman. And the woman's not without the man in the Lord. In Christ, we're one. Does he not say two shall become one flesh? I'm telling you the truth here. The reason are so many divorces because two never became one. They never became one flesh. They did not melt into each other. They didn't do it. And that causes division. Now, after God did this, he made Eve, he brought her to Adam, she's a helpmate to him. Then the fall happened. The fall happened. And notice what God said to Eve in Genesis 3:16. Unto the woman, God said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now, why did God say, thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee? Why did God say that? Now, I've given some thought to this. I've given some real thought, prayerful thought to this. Here's why the Lord said this. Before the fall, they had no trouble with the role God put them in, did they? Eve didn't say, no, I'm not doing that. No, you do the dishes. I ain't doing them. They didn't say that. Before the fall, they had no trouble with the role God put them in, but now they are fallen. And sin has entered in. And God's order is going to be challenged by Eve. It's going to be challenged. And all her daughters. It's going to be challenged. It was not a problem for her to help, to be a helpmate before the fall. But now it's a problem. Am I right, ladies? I'm telling you that. Submission is not easy. It's not easy. Here's one of the reasons why we're both fallen. There's sin in both of us. We're both sinful creatures. It was not a problem. Listen, it was not a problem for her to be a helpmate to Adam, and it was not a problem for Adam to love her. But after the fall, Adam said, the woman you gave me, she's the problem. See how sin? That's us by sin. Something else about the woman here from the scriptures. In 1 Peter 3:7, likewise you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Love them. Dwell with them. Take care of them. Giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel. That is so offensive in our day. That's so offensive. Being called the weaker vessel. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Don't be fussing and fighting with each other, and don't expect God to answer your prayer, because it ain't going to happen until you get that straightened up. That's like when the Lord said, when you bring your gift to the altar, you got a problem with your brother, leave your gift and go settle that problem with your brother, because God's not going to accept that gift until you get that issue settled. And God's not going to hear our prayers, and if we got an issue going on, he's not going to do it. Not with two people who claim to be believers. Now, if you're married to an unbeliever, that's a different story. Now listen, Paul called him the weaker vessel. And in this sense, weaker physically. I know we don't like, I know the world doesn't want to deal with that, or they don't want to acknowledge that. I don't know if you've noticed the movies that come out by Hollywood now. These women are butt kickers. We watched one the other night. Man, this woman was going up against a Navy SEAL. He was co-op Navy SEAL, and she kicked his rear end. I told Vicki, I said, that's the image they want from Hollywood. But here's the truth of it. Here's the truth of it. They're weaker physically and emotionally. Now listen to me. I have been at work, and I've worked with women in the workplace. And I've had the boss, and I've heard had the boss to come down on us, you know, come down on people. Every time, almost invariably, the woman has gone off and cried. The man has gone off, kicked the door open. He's mad, he's mad. And he wants to fight, and he just. But the woman has gone off and cried. That's just so. That's just so. Almost every time. When it comes to domestic violence. Who gets beat up? 99.9% of the time. The woman. The woman. But I tell you this, the woman, women are the most caring. They'll listen to you. I mean, that's like virgin territory for a man to have to listen. I told Vicki last night, I said, that's weird for a man to have to listen. But a woman will listen. She'll listen. And she's caring. And she's sympathetic to the children. Look over here in verse 4 of chapter 6. You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. He didn't say you fathers and mothers. Because you fathers are more apt to provoke your children to wrath. You're more apt to overdo it. You are, than the mother is. She's more caring. But here, listen, God has established the order of the home for His glory and for the well-being and happiness of the family. When things work as God made them to be, there's happiness. There's genuine happiness. Look over in 1 Timothy. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Chapter 5. Look in verse 11. Look in verse 10. He's talking here about the widow, you know, or he was talking about the widow, but he says here that he'd been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works. If she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, she's washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work, she's been a, you know, she's a godly woman. But the younger widows refuse. Well, I'm reading. Jump down to verse 14. Here's where I wanted to get to. This other part is a little more about something else. He said, I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. You know that, I believe this. A woman has far more to do with the happiness of that house than a man does. I believe that. Guide the house. Give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. You know, when Satan went in the garden and Adam fell, who did he go after? He didn't go after Adam. He did not. He went after Eve to get to Adam. I can tell. This happened in my home and growing up in my home growing up. This happened every time. Mom, would you ask Dad? I couldn't. We never went to Dad. Never went to Dad. Dad can do this. Dad can. Mom, would you go to ask Dad? Mom, would you? My mother always went to Dad for us. Satan went to Eve to get to Adam. He knew what he was doing. Now, this submission is not a pretended submission. It is a willing, loving submission. It's not hard, as I said, to submit to someone you love. It's a willing submission. It's not a forced submission. But I tell you what happens, though. It does, I think, and believe it comes easier as we grow in grace and in knowledge of Christ. It does come easier as we grow in grace and knowledge of Him because we want to be submissive to Him. Lord, Thy will be done. And then you tell your husband to go jump off a cliff. Well, that ain't working. That's not His will. We just given us His will. It's a loving submission. It's a loving submission. It is submission to Jesus Christ as unto the Lord. Not to submit is rebellion against the Lord, isn't it? It's rebellion against Christ. You know, I've told Vicki this more than once. I said, consider Christ your first husband first before me. If you really do that, there's a lot of things that get settled which you don't even have to bring up. If you just take it to the Lord and leave it there. Take it to your husband, your real husband, your real one. When a wife is in subjection to her husband, she's in reality in subjection to Christ. And I believe this is where true Christianity comes out at. This is where it shines. This is where it's either real or is not real. It's right here. Your love and obedience to Jesus Christ in all things. Now let me say this. I'm going to try to wind this down. The wife is not to submit in everything. Now let me explain. In that day, you got to remember who Paul's preaching to. In that day, there were wives who were saved and their husbands were not. And there was a question as to whether they should stay with their lost husband or not, unequally yoked. And Paul tells them he tells them in other epistles, you stay with your husband. You stay with him. And those husbands, listen, their husbands were still in idolatry. They were still in paganism. They were still in immorality. They had such immoral lives. They weren't like the Jews brought up under the law. They had no law. They were basically a law to themselves. The wife was to submit to her husband in the Lord in things that were right. Right. Not in things wrong. She was not to go to idol worship with him. She's not to participate in that no more or in any immoral acts. And the same for children. Look over there in verse 1 in chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. In the Lord. If your parents ask you, or some parents, and they do, there's some terrible parents out there. If a parent asks a child to steal or to do something like that, they are not to obey them. They are not to obey them in any immoral act, in any illegal act. They are not to obey. You don't obey those who have authority over you, who's getting you to do something that's illegal. In the Lord, as unto the Lord. That's the key. And the reason for this submission is this. For the husband is the head of the wife. God established this order in the Garden of Eden. Even as Christ is head of the church and he's the Savior, protector of the body. You know, the husband is the protector of his wife. He's the protector of the home, isn't he? He's the protector of the home. The other night, it was about morning. Man, we heard this loud noise. I mean, it was a loud noise in the house. Vicki said, somebody's in the house. I didn't say, well, go see. I didn't ask her to go see. I jumped out of the bed. I'll tell you what I did. And I hesitate to say that I grabbed a pistol, but I did. I grabbed that 9mm out of my desk drawer and jumped out the front door of the bedroom and went down the hallway. You know, I just tried to get down there as fast as I could because I thought somebody's in the house. And then I took a flashlight and I went room to room, went through all the closets, looked under the beds. I looked at everything. And she had one of these stickers in the shower and had a brush that I used to wash my back. It fell off in the shower. But it made a noise. It sounded like somebody broke in the house. It was that loud because it echoed in that shower. I didn't ask her to jump out of the bed and go see. I jumped out of the bed. And I came back and I had so much adrenaline flowing, it felt like my head was going to explode. They are the protector of the body. The wife. The husband is the provider of the home. He's the provider. He's the protector. You're going to say, that's old-time religion. Call it what you want. It's Bible religion. It's Bible. He's to take care of that home. I don't care if he has to work 16 hours a day, if that's what it takes to take care of it. You work till you're crawling. That's what I say to the husbands. I don't care if you're crawling. You take care of that home. Did our Lord not do that? Having loved his own, he loved them to the end. Did he not die? I mean, he gave his life for us. Husbands, give your life to taking care of your wife. I'm getting into next week's lesson, but you know, John Newton, his wife died, and he never got over that. John Newton loved her so much, he never got over that. And someone said to his friend, Roland Hill, I believe it was, and I'll tell you this again in a couple weeks, but someone said to his friend, Roland Hill, John loved his wife too much. And Roland Hill said, what? What? Love his wife as Christ loved the church? You can't love her too much. Just don't love her more. But you can't love her too much. You give yourself to her comfort, her emotional needs, her protection. She don't. Well, I'm getting in the next week. I'm giving you a little taste. Maybe you'll want to come back and listen to the rest of it. Yeah, I want to hear about that husband. But you protect him. He's the savior of the body. You see, this has to do with Christ and his church, his wife. Can you imagine the church arguing with Christ? Can you imagine the church saying, no. No, I don't want to do that. That's what he's talking about. Can you imagine a church going her own way? I tell you what. Now, Vicki said this to me once. Probably don't remember it. She said, I don't know what woman wouldn't want to be taken care of. Why they wouldn't want to be taken care of. And, you know, loved and taken care of and looked after. She said, I don't know why anybody wouldn't want that. And remember this. Remember, listen, in the Old Testament, the lamb had to be without blemish and without spot. Why? Because it represented the Lord Jesus Christ. The marriage is the one type that's still with us. It's the one type that's not been done away with. It's the one type that represents our Lord and his bride, his wife. Now the world can do whatever it takes to keep from killing each other. I ain't talking to the world. You know, the Lord said, Moses gave you the bill of divorcement. And he did that to keep them from killing each other. But he said, from the beginning, it wasn't so. God didn't give it to you. He said, but Moses gave it to you to keep you from killing each other. And the world has to do whatever it takes. But in the home of the believer, this is it. This is how there's real joy and happiness in the home. And if someone doesn't like this, they say, that's just not for me. And I know this sounds hard. I know this is going to sound hard. Don't call yourself a believer. Just be who you are. Just be who you are. Don't call yourself a believer. Just be who you are. And if someone doesn't, they say, well, I don't like that. I don't like that. Don't get married. There you go. That'll fix it. Don't get married. All right, I'm going to close. And this being so, listen, this being so, therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, the example, he's holding forth Christ. Marriage is a type of Christ in the church. As a subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband, their own, nobody else, no other man. You're not subject to any other man. Any other man come here and tell you what to do, you can tell them whatever you want to tell them. But you're subject to your husband, your own, their own husband in everything. Not just the things that really don't matter. That's really not subjection, is it? That's really not subjection. Subjection is when you really want to do something else, and you say, "All right, I think this is best." I'll tell you what I did. Been in subjection to my pastor, you know, and this is going out. Back whenever we was going to call a pastor, Henry had his mind set on somebody, and us elders most we didn't want him. I wrote Henry a letter. I wrote him a letter. And I gave him the reason I didn't think this man was the man. And then I went and sat down and talked to Henry. And in that letter, I said, I'm not going to say what all said in it, but in that letter, at the end of it, I said, "But you have been my pastor all these years, and I'm going to follow what you say. And I know this, whatever it is, it'll be the Lord's will. Even if it turns out to be a disaster." And it did. It did and it didn't. The Lord's will was done. It was done. If we truly have a Christian marriage in a Christian home where Christ is the center of the home, this will be followed, not perfectly. I'm not saying we don't have disagreements. I'm not saying that at all. But there will be happiness. And this applies to the children, chapter 6, 1, servants, verse 5, verse 9, masters, and masters have their master in heaven, and we all obey civil governments. This is God's order. This is God's order. Now, the next time, Lord willing, week after next, no Bible class next week, but week after next, I'm going to deal with husbands. Love your wife. See, I got 9 verses on the husbands. I only had 3 on the wives. Wives, you think, well, that we have the difficult part. Not if you understand what he's saying. All right.